Hello, good morning, Green Bay Packer fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Today is Tuesday. It's March 21st. And we're talking about the NFL owners' meetings today and all the topics related to that. We're going to talk about the proposed kickoff rule changes. Mike McCarthy has said there's going to be a change to the training camp schedule. We're going to talk about all those things and anything else you want to talk about. David has already left a comment on our live blog, I see, at 8:01 a.m. If you want to comment on today's show, please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through. Our comments are also being approved today by our wonderful moderators, Alex Talich and Jamie Jors. So thank you very much. Let's get right to it today. Let's get to the NFL owners' meetings and talk about what's going on in New Orleans. If you look at the top of our live blog, I've left a link for this morning's Packers Daily Links. Please feel free to open that up and follow along. When you do, you'll find a page that looks a little bit like this. The top story today is about the alteration to the training camp schedule that Mike McCarthy is going to make in the next coming days, coming weeks, months, I suppose, whenever they agree to upon a new collective bargaining agreement. But if you follow the link here that says training camp schedule, take you to PackersNews.com, and reporter Rob Domofsky is in New Orleans covering the NFL owners' meetings, the NFL annual meeting. Kind of goes by two names, just in case anybody's confused out there. I think the NFL officially calls it their annual meeting, but seeing as all the owners are there, it's popularly known as the owners meeting. But anyway, so while he's there, Mr. Domofsky talked to head coach Mike McCarthy, and the head coach kind of said that there's going to be an alteration to this upcoming year's training camp schedule. And well, I'll just read here very briefly one paragraph of what Mr. Domofsky had to say. He writes, quote, "He's likely going to do with away with the 2-1-2 practice schedule, in which a two-a-day session was followed by a single practice the next day, followed by another two-a-day that he instituted when he got the job in 2006. He tweaked it over the years, adding an off day on either Wednesdays or Thursdays, depending on when preseason games fell." Now, further details, exact details of what the Packers are going to do haven't been released yet. As the article goes on to say, head coach Mike McCarthy hasn't even talked about this yet with his assistant coaches. So, I mean, that's kind of why there's been no formal announcement, no more details yet of what's going to change. But, I think you're going to see an even lighter practice schedule than usual. I mean, the Packers' practice schedule during training camp is fairly light as it is. There's not a lot of heavy hitting compared to other NFL teams. And, you know, I think over the years, a lot of NFL teams have eased up quite a bit compared to years ago and decades ago when there was a lot of hitting, and that's all practice ever, consisted of. But anyway, you know, I think it's going to lighten up still yet. I remember back a couple regimes ago, I think it was under Mike Sherman and perhaps under Mike Holmgren as well, they used to have, it when they had two-a-days, sometimes the two of the two-a-day, the second of two practices, would strictly be like a special teams practice where, you know, it certainly wouldn't be as strenuous and they wouldn't work on offense and defense at all. They'd just work on things like kickoff and kick return, punt return, and field goals, extra points, and defense on those particular plays. So, I'd be interesting to see if that's going to come back. I have no clue. That's just something that came to my mind. John Rahor comments, lighter practices, is that even possible? Yeah, it almost doesn't seem possible that practices could be any lighter than they are, seeing as they don't have much hitting as it is. But, you know, David comments, I think practice was more intense back in the day because players didn't show up in shape like they do now. And that is a good point. You know, certainly players keep themselves more in shape now than they did decades ago. They come in shape. They work out in the off season, many of them quite heavily. Do certain players come in a little bit out of shape? Sure. This isn't 100% guaranteed here for every player, but yes, you know, I think you might see perhaps more one-a-day practices rather than two-a-days, perhaps as well. That could be an alteration. I think Mr. Domofsky had written in the article that don't expect the night practices to go away because they're so popular and they'd get fairly high amount of attendance. And I would say that's probably true. Perhaps they'll cut back on those, but I wouldn't expect an elimination of the nighttime practices because they do bring in a nice crowd in Green Bay at Ray Nitschke Field that the Packers invested so much money into as well. So they're going to want to make use of that, and I think they realize that training camp is a draw and people come into town for that and, you know, spend money at the Lambeau Field atrium, etc., stay in local hotels, you know, purchase merchandise in the area. So, you know, it's, I wouldn't expect big changes. And no, these changes are not going to be sweeping at all. There's really not that many two-a-day practices even. I think people sometimes realize how few there actually are. They have some two-a-day practices the first week, two, perhaps three of training camp. So they'll have two-a-day practices the first week or two. So two the first week, two the second week, maybe two the third. And then it's like all one-a-day practices anyhow. So, you know, there's only like 5-6 days in which they have two practices anyway. You know, 5 or 6 days out of the whole year. That's not really all that much. So, you know, I don't think the changes will be sweeping, but any changes they do make are noteworthy, I think, is worthy of attention, and that's why it's the top story today, just because it is the Green Bay Packers, and so many people check out training camp and come to training camp. Everybody watching this show has either come to training camp or want to go to training camp, I'm sure, I'm positive of it. That's why you're watching a show totally dedicated to the Green Bay Packers, so that's why it is noteworthy, in my opinion, in my estimation. Other news today, and probably the biggest thing I want to talk about on today's show, the kickoff rules, which looks like will be voted upon here. Originally, the original kickoff rule proposal included, I think, four aspects to it. You know, this was all, but before the NFL owners meeting even happens, the rules change committee, I believe, meets a week ahead of time to, you know, propose rules that they think might are deserving of change. So they met a week ago, and this all, we've talked about this before, and, you know, the proposed rule, it includes four things. The biggest change, moving the kickoff from the up from the 30-yard line to the 35. Moving touchbacks up from the 20 to the 25 on kickoffs only. The run-up that would, I believe players are given 15 yards, of as much as 15 yards as a run-up, that would be limited to possibly 5 yards. And the elimination of wedge blocking. Previously, last year, they eliminated three-man wedges. Now it's being limited even further to, you know, last year they allowed two-man wedges, and now none at all. No two players teaming up at all. It's all one-on-one blocking. And, you know, there's just too many parts to this rule in my estimation, for it to pass. I mean, all four of these aspects together, when taken together, it's just too sweeping, too broad. Not broad isn't the correct word, but you know, too sweeping of a rule change for it to be approved, for it to take effect. I think teams are going to be leery of this. And people have said that this would favor the Packers, actually, because they don't have a strong return game, that, you know, a lot of times they don't even get out to the 25-yard line with their return. So by having a touchback come out to the 25, that'd be just fine with them. And then it would be easier for them to get touchbacks. So instead of kicking to the Devin Hesters and the Percy Harvins of the NFC North on kickoffs, it'll be easier for Mason Crosby to get a touchback. So people have said that this would actually favor the Packers. And I guess what I'm... It probably would in the short term. And I guess the key word here is the short term. I am personally not in favor of this rule, even though it would affect the team of which I'm a fan for, the Green Bay Packers, in a positive fashion. It just is something that I don't think is in the long term good for the game and good for the Packers. Even though it might favor the Packers now, currently the Packers don't have a strong return game, and currently their opponents in the NFC North do. I just think that could easily change down the road. I mean, just look back to the previous time the Packers won the Super Bowl, and they had Desmond Howard, the best return man in the game, the Super Bowl MVP, one of the best return men in the history of the game, probably. Maybe not the best, but one of the best. One of the most well-known, certainly, after becoming the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, it would affect the Packers in the short term, but it's not in the best health of the game. I think it will, you'll see a lot more touchbacks, and it's kind of taking the kickoff out of the game. And I realize that people sometimes get hurt on kickoff, but I mean, once again, we do have to remember this is the nature of the beast. This is the, people are going to get hurt in football from time to time. And I'm all about making the game safer with certain tweaks. I just don't think all four of these changes you can implement right now, or I'm not in agreement with all of them. I would be okay with a few of them, like the elimination of wedge blocking. I don't think that would have a huge impact on the game, and it would perhaps prevent guys from teaming up, double teaming, one and, you know, two on one, trying to, you know, take somebody out on a kickoff return where it's kind of unfair, and you know, a two on one blocking that a person could potentially get hurt, I suppose. So that wouldn't be a big deal to me. Allowing or limiting only a 5-yard run-up for the team kicking off, that they don't get up to 100% speed quite as quick or at all, that would be fine with me as well. I suppose the biggest part that I have a problem with it is moving the kickoff from the 30 to the 35. I think I saw somewhere, God knows if I could even remember it at all. I read an article saying that, you know, that the kickoffs were at the 35 a decade ago. What was it? Mid-90s, I believe they changed the rule and moved them back. They were at the 35, you know, a little over a decade ago. And touchbacks were at that time about at one-third of the time, roughly. One-third of the time, 33% or so. And now, since they've been moved back 5 yards, they're now at about one-quarter of the time, 25% or so, you know, across the league, there's a touchback. And I just think, you know, kickers have gotten probably a little better, a little stronger since then. So I think you're moving it up again to the 35-yard line. You're going to see more than a third of the kickoffs result in touchbacks. More than a third of the time. I think that's taking away from the game. I personally don't like that. It's just, you know, been part of the game for its entire history. The kickoff is part of football. It's how the game starts, opening kickoff. And just to see a touchback more often than that would just kind of be disappointing in my estimation. Something I wouldn't want to see a lot. So, with that, I by all means, I open up the phone lines here, 646-797-2909. If you want to call into the show, give your feelings on the kickoffs, what you agree with, what you disagree with. Do you like to see this rule approved? Do you think it'll favor the Packers? Any and all of those topics, by all means, somebody call into the show, share your thoughts rather than just listen to me here spout off on the topic, and feel free to tell me I'm an idiot if you think so. And with that, I'll check out the comments on the live blog as well. Feel free to share your comments on there. And I haven't checked up on the comments here in a while, so give me a second here while I catch up. John Rahor comments, I'm sure the mastery of Slocum will find a way to screw it up if it's approved. Sean Slocum, being the Packers special teams coach, took a lot of heat this year for the poor performance of the Packers special teams, albeit an improved performance upon the year previously. K-Cousineau09, Kyle Cousineau comments, Dan Connolly has to be pissed with all the new special teams rule being talked about. That, of course, if anybody doesn't remember, Dan Connolly, Patriots offensive lineman, returned the kickoff against the Packers earlier in 2010, earlier this season, I suppose. Not even this season anymore, it's last season. And, so the NFL's longest kickoff by an offensive lineman in history, which was one of the low points of the season for the Packers. Ever since that Patriots game, it's all been up, though. Am I correct that they won every game after that point? They didn't lose again after the Patriots game, did they? They won every single game after that, because that was the, if I'm correct, the 14th game of the regular season. And they just had the two regular season must-win games after that. And of course, the run through the playoffs. Everything was uphill after the Dan Connolly kickoff. That was the low point, and everything after that was on the upswing. You could look at it in that regard, I suppose. David says, I should be the NFL commish. I should be. Except even the commissioner doesn't have a say in this. It's voted upon by the owners or the teams collectively. I'm sure the owners get the input of their general managers and coaches. Just another thing on my mind that I read, that I saw, that is Ted Thompson said, and this makes sense. I believe this was also in the article by Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Ted Thompson said, in Green Bay, in the cold weather, in Lambeau Field, in the late months of November and December, and even during the playoffs, during January, kickoffs are not going to result in touchbacks all the time. You know, with the cold ball and just, you know, teams perhaps, kickers being a little bit tighter in the cold weather, not quite as loose, you're not going to see touchbacks even if you move it up to the 35. And he said, it's not going to prevent the Packers from searching for a good return man, a good return specialist. They're going to need one regardless. And he is right. I mean, to an extent. I just do think, on the whole, overall, you are going to see a large amount, large increase in the amount of touchbacks. You know, on the whole, because not every game in the NFL is played in Green Bay. You know, the Packers are going to play plenty of road games as well. So, you know, that's my take on it. And I see on the live blog here, they're talking about the XFL rule to start the game, in which they both teams start 20 yards away. But the ball is placed at what, midfield? They just get a running start, and who can ever recover the ball gets it. Or was that their form of a coin flip? David says, the only thing I remember about the XFL is he hate me. Oh. Goodness, the XFL. Whatever happened to that game? You know, had they been able to stay alive, I mean, they'd probably, well, I mean, this is all hypothetical, but I mean, they now have the UFL. It just seems like one league takes the place of another. You know, the secondary league in this nation that tries to be the second product, they all fail. They all fail. The XFL, the UFL, and now I can't see this UFL thing sticking around. It can, of course, stick around for a couple years, a little while. Might even gain a little bit of steam if there happens to be a prolonged lockout this year. But I can't see that league sticking around for long. You know, that's getting off topic here. That was my take on the proposed rule changes. You know, we should be getting news any time now about the vote, how it went. Supposedly it was going to be voted upon this, I believe, this morning. And it would include perhaps changes. If I'm correct, I think I did see alterations to the rule, and let me see if I can find them here, that the original proposal is that would include the touchback, the moving of the kickoff, the wedge blocking, and the run-up. So, like, four aspects. And you know, Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, came out yesterday and blasted it, said he didn't agree with it. So, you know, other comments came out as well, too. So, against it, and they said they would probably not look at all those changes, but there would be some alterations. And here it is, I pulled it up, a tweet from Greg Rosenthal of Pro Football Talk, and he writes, just brief tweet here, quote, "It sounds like touchbacks, wedge rules will go back to normal and latest rule proposal, and it still may not pass." So if that's correct, perhaps the only changes being looked at here that they're voting upon would just be moving the kickoff up and the run-up, the five-yard run-up. Those would be the only changes. And to me, like I said, the biggest one I don't like is the moving the kickoff up. I could probably live with all the others. The run-up is fine to me. And it looks here that the wedge rules, it says, will go back to normal. So apparently they'll allow two-man wedge blocking. And the touchbacks, I guess I don't have too much of an opinion on the touchbacks. So I don't know. To me, the moving up of the kickoffs, not in favor of it, in my opinion. Kyle Cousineau providing a link here. Yeah, I might not be able to read the whole thing. What's it about? I'll click it here and take a quick look. Okay, so the tweaking of the rules here on CBS.com. Will Brinson has an article. Yeah, I don't have time to read the whole thing here on air, but encourage everybody else, click the link and check it out on the alterations to the rule changes here. It shouldn't be long. Sometime this afternoon, we'll be finding out whether it passed or not. You know, I think I read another tweet somewhere as well that, of course, the Chicago Bears weren't in favor of the rule changes. The strength of their team is special teams in the return game. Probably the strongest part of their team with Devin Hester and a couple other good return men as well. So I believe Lovie Smith had said he could agree to changes except the moving up of the kickoff as well. It's the way I feel as well. Way I feel. Just is not in the long-term best interests of the game. I don't want to see so many touchbacks. It would just be disappointing. Elsewhere going on at the NFL owners meetings, just a couple of points here before we take a break at 8:30 at the bottom of the hour. I had seen, yeah, there we go. John Rahor retweeted it from Lovie Smith, head coach of the Chicago Bears. To eliminate kickoffs is tearing up the fiber of the game a little bit. Thanks, John. Other news coming from the NFL owners meeting. The head coach, Mike McCarthy, told Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette that all the players on the Packers were contacted by the assistant coaches before the expiration of the collective bargaining agreement to say, you know, if this expires, by rule, we cannot have any contact. No employee of the organization, be it apparently a coach, a member of the public relations department, you know, strength and conditioning, team doctor even, I would assume, a secretary, anybody. There can be no contact between them and the players. And they just say, you know, it was interesting to say, do not violate this rule at all. Respectfully, you know, honor it. You know, they just, it looks like they don't want to have any repercussions should these rules be broken. I mean, it, even though there's a lockout, I'm sure that the players wouldn't mind talking to an assistant coach from now and again if they have a question for him, or, you know, just a, you know, they don't really have a beef with the assistant coaches. I mean, it, they probably feel weird being barred from having to talk to them, but that's the way things are, and that's the way things go down. So that's the way life is in now under the NFL lockout, with the union decertified as well. So just a change of culture taking place here in the NFL. And John Rahor again, providing the information from Sean Jensen of the Chicago Sun-Times here. Lovie Smith said he thinks fans want to see Devin Hester possibly return a kickoff for a touchdown instead of a kicker kick it out. Kyle Cousineau says Pepper Burris was asked last week about the expiration of the CBA, basically said it sucked. He cannot have any contact with any players at the risk of being fired. So, if they break this rule, could be fired. So, it just an example of how sweeping these changes are, how far they're being taken, and how unfortunate of a situation it is. It's 8:30, folks. I'm going to take a quick break here, throw it to a brief commercial here as usual. When we come back, I wanted to talk about one of these other topics coming out of the NFL owners' meetings. The Packers should have found their opponent, who it is, for opening weekend of the schedule, and now they're not. Also, no announcement of compensatory draft choices. News from the Packers that should have come out this weekend or this week is not. We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back to Cheesehead TV, to Railbird Central. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, once again. Thanks for joining me today, folks. We're talking all about the topics being discussed at the NFL owners' meetings. And another thing I wanted to touch upon, yesterday, it was announced. I don't know if it was announced per se, but information had leaked that the NFL would not be announcing their NFL kickoff weekend schedule. It's usually announced at the NFL owners' meetings this week. The games that will be nationally televised opening weekend in the NFL. Opening weekend is a little bit different than your typical regular season week-to-week schedule in that there's a game on Thursday night on NBC. I think it's historically been televised upon national audience, you know, the first game of the year, first regular season, you know, big deal. And it's traditionally always included the Super Bowl champion. So this year, the Green Bay Packers would take part in the game. Many people have thought that their opponent would be the division rival and their opponent in the NFC Championship game last year, the Chicago Bears. So, you know, it would be a big deal. Or perhaps the other playoff opponents like the New Orleans Saints, another opponent that will be part of the Packers schedule this year. Regardless, probably being hosted at Lambeau Field, national television audience. I think I saw there's also usually a concert involved with it as well, like a big name performer, singer performing, I don't know, before the game or after the game. Probably not after, but I don't know. Anyway, you know, big announcement. The Packers should have learned their who their opponent is, and, you know, plans could be made. Hotels could be booked. You know, I'm sure local business owners were looking forward to this announcement this week in Green Bay. And, you know, other games throughout the opening weekend were announced as well. The Sunday Night Football nationally televised game on NBC usually announced, and they usually have also two Monday night games. The only time of the year they have two Monday night games, one wherever and one on the West Coast, one usually late at night at 9 or 10 p.m. starting. So, you know, usually about eight teams have these games announced and you know, big deal. And the NFL, with the lockout taking place here and other business to attend to, did not announce it this week, or they're not going to announce it. Going to be announced at some later point in time. You know, that would have been the biggest story coming out of this whole week for the Packers. I mean, there's little bits, you know, all these news stories. We've talked about kickoffs, rule changes. We've talked about the change in the training camp schedule. You know, all this is noteworthy stuff coming out. But, I mean, this would have been a big news story. That would have been the biggest thing talked about, who the Packers are playing on, you know, opening day, opening weekend, and against perhaps a division rival. You know, people would have started buying tickets on eBay, I'm sure, tickets going up for sale. You know, it would have had effects had this been announced. And I suppose it is only a matter of time. But another example of how the lockout is already impacting business and the NFL. You know, other things that have been affected, that have become newsworthy, that have included articles in the media. The ordering of Super Bowl rings has been delayed, been pushed back. Of course, now what the team wants to do is communicate with the players of the design of the ring and perhaps get all their sizes if they haven't already. Of course, there was the story during Super Bowl week that they actually had their fingers measured the night before the game, but, you know, perhaps not everybody did, and they still need to get a measurement or something. I don't know. So that's been put on delay. The visit to the White House to meet President Obama, of course, that's been pushback as well. Usually that would happen sometime during the off season program when the whole team was together, probably somewhere in the May or June time frame during training camp, or not training camp, but mini camp or OTAs, that would happen. And as long as there's a lockout, that's not going to happen as well. Charity events that the Packers usually put on or attend may not be happening as well. You know, I know one of the big things they do at this time of year, this time frame, is their traveling charity basketball team. And I have heard, you know, they visit local high schools throughout the state of Wisconsin, a handful of them, maybe 5-6 games or something like that. But, you know, they do it for local charity, and basically that's the purpose of it. And I think it was always kind of organized through the team. And even now, you know, there may not be the organization of that just because of the lockout. And again, the organization can't communicate with the players, you know, go here on this day, et cetera, et cetera. So that may or may not be taking place. I had heard of one date that was set up in, I believe it's Portage, Wisconsin, in April sometime. We will see whether that's been canceled or not. It's been the only date I've heard at all. So they also, later on, when the weather gets a little better, do charity softball games as well. To be seen whether that will go on as scheduled in previous years. So, you know, day-to-day business being affected here in the NFL. And this is just another with the announcement or lack thereof of the opening weekend in the NFL. Another example of how the lockout is affecting business. And another thing that's not being announced, usually, historically, traditionally, the listing of compensatory draft choices. And again, this is, you know, the kind of a, unless you're a hardcore football fan, it's kind of a mystery how and why teams get these compensatory draft choices. They get them for free agents lost. Technically, more free agents lost than they gained. The Packers would stand to gain a mid-round draft choice for losing Aaron Kampman last year. People have said it could be as high as a third-round draft choice. I personally, my prediction, it's going to be a fourth-rounder. Who knows, maybe even lower. I doubt it. But anyway, possibly as high as a third-round draft choice would have been announced this week. And again, that would be a big deal. Just imagine what you can do with the third-round draft choice. Last year with the third-rounder, the Packers drafted safety Morgan Burnett, who ended up being a starter for them as a rookie, the season opener. You know, perhaps, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to draft a starter with a third-rounder, but it has happened. And, you know, again, that would have been a big announcement from a Packers perspective. Would have been one of the bigger stories coming out of this week in New Orleans. So, again, another example of a way the lockout is affecting business at across the NFL, and specifically how it's affecting the Green Bay Packers, the topic of our choice here on this show. Other stories making the news, and I suppose before I get to this again, let me put the phone number up on the screen here. If you want to call in, please, by all means, call 646-797-2916. 1-800-919-0909, or feel free to leave your comments on the live blog as well. Other news happening over the past 24 hours in today's Packers Daily Links. We go back and take a look at it. Fullback John Kuhn was home in his native Pennsylvania. I believe he was, you know, doing some sort of public appearance, signing some autographs or something like that. And there were a couple articles, if you search the internet, scour the internet, written about him yesterday with this public appearance. You know, a couple news outlets had covered this. And in one of them, if you follow the link about John Kuhn, takes you to the York Dispatch, I believe just a local newspaper in Pennsylvania, talk to John Kuhn, interview him, and Kuhn said he expects to return to Green Bay. And of course, what this all means is that John Kuhn is slated to become a free agent. And again, this all depends upon the CBA and labor negotiations. Nothing will happen until they come to an agreement. You know, he's slated to become a CBA, and the Packers have offered him a tender, which, you know, under the old rules of the CBA would more than likely keep him with the team. But those rules are expected to become null and void when a new CBA is agreed upon, and he will more than likely become just a flat-out free agent available to negotiate with any team in the NFL. That's probably what's going to happen. So, John Kuhn has said he expects to come back to Green Bay. I mean, it kind of, I mean, comes out of the blue a little bit. I mean, just from a leverage standpoint, you know, he could say, yeah, I'm going to shop myself around, and I already know I bet there's 12 teams that are interested in signing me, and you know, that getting that out in the public could increase his contract. We're talking about John Kuhn here. I suppose other NFL players might do something like that, but that doesn't seem to be the MO of John Kuhn. He said he expects to be back in Green Bay. I've mentioned it before. John Kuhn, there's more incentive for him to re-sign with Green Bay than any other team to sign him. I mean, John Kuhn in Green Bay, you know, where else would he get the amount of carries he gets, the amount of touches? So carries combined with receptions. He is a short yardage back. He gets first downs. He is a goal line back, so he gets the ball to get touchdowns 1 yard away from the end zone. I mean, where else in the NFL are they going to utilize him that much? Probably nowhere. Probably nowhere. I highly doubt any team in the NFL would use him in that function quite as much. So there's a lot of incentive for John Kuhn to come back. David asks, is Kuhn an unrestricted free agent? And again, it's a complicated question to ask there. Under the old rules of the collective bargaining agreement, he would have been a restricted free agent. In the last year of the collective bargaining agreement, you know, forever, it was after 4 accrued years, you were a free agent. Then in the last year of the CBA, it turned to 6, which mostly nobody liked. Nobody liked that rule that it took 6. You know, it took players an extra 2 years to get their big payday on the open market. So the feeling is he is going to be go back to a the rule is going to go back to 4 years once again. Kuhn, I believe, has 5 accrued years in the NFL, so he probably would be an unrestricted free agent. Taryn for 12 says, Kuhn, a man who knows his true value and it isn't free agency. I think it's a foregone conclusion. If I had to choose one player out of the, there's a like a dozen guys who are slated to become free agents for the Packers this year. If I had to choose one guy who I could guarantee would be back with the Packers, it would have been John Kuhn. I think he is the most likely candidate to come back. And I'm sure there will be several of them coming back. Again, we've talked about this on previous shows, you know, during the off-season time of year. That's what you talk about a lot is free agency. And players slated to become free agents are Darren College, James Jones. Those are some of the big names. Brandon Jackson, of course, defensive lineman. Cullen Jenkins. So these are some of the big guys who could receive decent money on the open market. Whether or not they will come back to the Packers is kind of up in the air for all of them. You know, those are just the biggest names. Like I said, there's about a dozen of them in the NFL this year. So, for the Packers specifically, who are set to become free agents. It's anybody's guess whether they'll come back or not. And, you know, I read something the other day that if all of a sudden there is an agreement after the, let's say, they come to an agreement with the CBA after the draft, it's going to be a very interesting time period. Because after the draft, as we've talked about before, it's the only guaranteed thing, known thing in the future that's going to be happening for the NFL. There will be a draft conducted as usual, as normal. Nothing will really change too much there. But, you know, every team in the NFL usually signs a dozen or so undrafted free agents. You know, that's a lot of guys to multiply a dozen by 32 teams. We're talking about hundreds of players being signed. And that can't happen until there's a new CBA. So not only if and when there is a new one agreed upon, if and when, not only will there be a flurry of undrafted free agents signed, there will also be a flurry of regular free agents signed. There's just going to be an absolute ton of activity. You know, I suppose the NFL could even stagger the start time of these things as part of the CBA. You know, the first 5 days, you know, that they will give a time period in which free agents can then sign with new teams or even their old teams, but just sign in general. So, but it will be when the CBA is agreed upon, there's going to be a lot of news coming out just because there's going to be so many signings and rumors of signings and where's this free agent going to sign and he's going to visit where and things like that. And especially the closer it gets to training camp, the more news there will be. I mean, all of a sudden, if it happens to be August or late July, I mean, when, you know, they're going to go to training camp in just days, you know, there will be a ton of news. And that doesn't apply solely to the Packers. That will be for every team in the NFL. Quick little another piece of news here. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers is going to be one of many players. I don't even know how many there are overall, but EA Sports, which owns the Madden video games, has teamed up with ESPN to vote upon who will appear on the cover of the Madden video game. Of course, the I myself am not a gamer, but I realize how big, how popular the Madden franchise has become. There are literally probably millions of people that play that game, and so it's a big deal if Aaron Rodgers were to get on the cover, and there is a probably a decent chance that he would get on the cover, seeing as he was Super Bowl MVP and, you know, just a good player in general, a good guy as well. So if you click this link about Madden NFL 12, it'll take you to TotalPackers.com. And Monty McMahon talks about how the voting is set up. And it's not just a one-time vote. Most popular or most votes wins it all. It's a little more detailed. He writes, quote, "The vote is set up tournament style. So each player faces a player from another team and the winner advances to the next round. Rodgers' first round opponent is Detroit Lions defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh." So it's almost set up like the NCAA tournament. I don't know if there's 64, what is it now, 68 teams involved, but there is some sort of tournament going on here that will take several rounds to complete. So if you haven't yet, if you want to, go vote for Aaron Rodgers to be on the cover of Madden NFL 12 next season. Speaking of the NCAA basketball tournament, the Wisconsin Badgers and the Marquette Golden Eagles are moving on to the Sweet 16. An exciting time in Wisconsin. And exciting sports news going on everywhere. Again, I believe I just read a blog post from somewhere noting, I can't recall where, noting the success of sports teams in this state this year, the year 2011. Starting off New Year's Day with a Wisconsin Badgers appearance in the Rose Bowl, moving on to a Green Bay Packers Super Bowl victory, and then for both the two biggest college basketball teams in the state, the Wisconsin Badgers and the Golden Eagles, moving on to the Sweet 16. So heady times in the state of Wisconsin this year, this calendar year. And the Milwaukee Brewers season yet to even start. And they're looking like they'll have one of the best teams in years in Milwaukee. So if you are a Wisconsin sports fan, pretty exciting times. And looking forward to basketball this upcoming weekend. I believe the Wisconsin Badgers have a very good shot at advancing to the Final Four. They play Butler this upcoming game on Thursday night in New Orleans. The Wisconsin media that's out there covering the NFL owners mean can just stay there to cover the Badgers. I doubt many will, but yes, Wisconsin takes on Butler. And, you know, that's, you know, I certainly not going to be an easy game no matter what. But I'll take Butler as an opponent any day over, you know, a team they could be playing. Badgers could be playing Ohio State, but or Pittsburgh, I would have thought, would have been, you know, a tough opponent, best team coming out of the Big East, in my opinion. I can't believe they lost, even. But playing Butler, and, you know, Butler for a stretch had struggled through the Horizon League. I believe they lost to UWGB, Wisconsin-Green Bay this year. So I like the Badgers' chances there. And then they take on the winner of Florida and BYU. Of course, BYU has Jimmer Fredette, but they've been reeling a little bit since their second-best player has been suspended from BYU for a violation of school rules, which is a total... That conversation alone could take up an entire show. why he was suspended. But anyway, BYU is reeling a little bit from that, and Florida, they come from the SEC, and the SEC, while an awesome football conference, not quite the same in basketball. I just don't think they have as strong as a team, especially as they've had in the past couple of years at Florida, back, you know, 5-6 years ago when they won back-to-back national championships. Certainly not as strong as they had been then. So I like the Badgers' chances, and I think I even saw statistics somewhere that they're the Las Vegas favorite to come out of that region as the Final Four. That have the lowest odds of any team, even lower than Florida, lower than the 2 seed. So a decent chance for Wisconsin to move on to the Final Four. You know, Marquette as well. They've got a punter's chance. Thanks everyone for joining me today. I really appreciate each and every one of you listening to the show, checking in, and watching Railbird Central today. Or if you're listening to the podcasted version, listening to it. We don't have video for the podcast, but thanks everyone for joining me today. Hopefully we'll be back on Friday morning this week talking about wrapping up the NFL owners meetings and talking perhaps more about the upcoming NFL draft once again. That's going to do it for today. Thanks a lot, everyone. Take care. Thank you to Jamie Jors and Alex Talich for moderating today. I will see you all later.